Now, we don't have a singer tonight, as we don't have through usually the summer months. I want to explain that Pastor Ward is not here to minister in song. I warned him about that before he came out with me into the pulpit tonight. But a number of folks have noticed Pastor Ward and his wife amongst us in these days. He has just concluded his full-time ministry, if you like, in Portrush just a few weeks ago. And as they've come amongst us, many of us know him, but perhaps we don't know very much about him. So I thought tonight that I would introduce him and ask him to introduce himself and to talk about his faith and to share, in a sense, some things about his testimony pertaining to the questions that I will ask him. And he asked me about the questions. I said, I don't know what the questions are yet. We'll wing it. So he was quite happy to do that. And we'll see tonight how the Lord leads. So Pastor Ward, if you'll come with us now and just share with us, please, some of these things, okay? Now, some people may not know this, but you originally are from Lisburn.
That's right.
So tell us something about your early years in Lisburn.
Well, I was born in Lisburn. That's the town that's on my birth certificate. I was born at the top of the Long Stone. There, my mother and father, when they got married, they lived with my father's parents. And in their time there, I was brought into this world. And they got a house in the Tona Estate. And my mother still lives around there in 14 Donner Drive, Tona Estate. After that, as the family grew, everything that my mother produced was a girl. And so as the house got crowded, I was moved round to my grandparents. So that's where I was brought up there, just beside Hope House, the house next to Hope House at the top of the Long Stone.
Right, so you say the girls came along. How many sisters have you and how many brothers have you?
I've no brothers. I've seven sisters.
Seven sisters.
Absolutely.
What was it like being nursed and cared for by all those devoted sisters?
Wonderful. Spoiled rotten.
I would say so.
And you don't say a word about me, that go to town.
Well, those were the early days, born and bred really in Lisburn. Let's take it on a little bit now and tell us how you became a Christian and how all of that was brought about.
Okay. Well, growing up at the top of the Long Stone, you know, you have school friends. And I had one or two school friends that came to the church here in Lisburn. We went to the Central School. That's where my education began. And there was a children's meeting in the old church before this church was built in Tona Avenue. And I came along with those to the children's meeting. I was about 10 years of age. And Mrs. Hearn, some of the older folks here might remember Mrs. Hearn, but she was responsible for the children's meeting in those days. And I can still remember some of the stories that were told in the children's meeting. That was the first time that I learned that I was a sinner in those children's meetings.
Good.
So anybody that's involved in Sunday school or children's work, don't despair. Keep at it. Because you may think that the kids are not taking it in. They are. And I can still remember things that I learned as a little boy in Tona Avenue. And I thank God for those people who took the time. I forget what day it was. It was in the afternoon. And there I learned that I was a sinner. And only the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death at Calvary, could save me from my sin. So that's where I learned that I needed to become a Christian. But I didn't become a Christian until I was 18 years of age. I'd gone by this time to work. Met a few people in my workplace who were believers. I know now that they prayed for me. They invited me along to services. And the Holy Spirit took a dealing with me in those days, and I became deeply under the conviction of sin. I knew the story of the cross, but I knew that if I died without Christ, that I would be lost in a Christless hell for all eternity. And I remember deep conviction when I was really convicted. One Friday night coming home, I was passing by a little mission hall. And they had a billboard out with a text outside it. And it was that text in Acts 16. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I remember saying to myself, that's what I need to do. And every step I took coming home, I could hear those words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Remember coming in that night, it was maybe 10:15, just headed straight up the stairs into my bedroom, got down on my knees before God, and I just simply prayed a prayer. I just said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to be saved, but I know that you died for me, that you gave your life on the cross and shed your blood for my sins. And here and now, I'm trusting you as my own personal Savior. So there's nothing dramatic about it. It was just that simple step of faith. And I trusted Christ that night, and he has never failed me since then. And that was when I was 18. Let them calculate how long that was since then.
Well, that was my next question. You know, over those 50 years, how have you got on? But I thought that wouldn't be fair. But you were 18 years of age when you gave your life to Jesus Christ.
Right.
I'm sure that in those days, when you were just 18, it's very, very different from what it is for 18-year-olds in our world today, because the world has drastically, dramatically changed. But tell us something about those early days, how you found your feet as a Christian. What were the things that were important to you? How did you begin to develop as a Christian?
Well, I met a girl, first of all.
I warned you about this morning.
And I fell in love with her.
Yeah.
And then I got married.
I'm glad it's the same thing, because your wife's sitting down
she's
there.
She's down there, right? And then I went to work in the post office in Lurgan. But from those early days, I knew that there was something had happened in my life. First of all, I never had any time to read the Bible. But I began to get interested in the scriptures and in the Word of God. And I remember my grandparents buying me my first Bible. And there was something inside me that said to me, you know, you should be at the prayer meeting. I didn't know what was going on. I know now, of course, that was the Holy Spirit that had given me new life. And there was a whole lot of new things, a new interest came into my life. And as I say, I began to read the Bible. I began to go to the prayer meeting. I felt I needed to have a time with the Lord myself, so I had my devotional time. And then we got married, and as I say, I was working and living in Lurgan by this time, and I joined the local fellowship. And then things began to open up. You know, I wanted to serve the Lord, and I said to the Lord, Lord, here I am. You take me. Whatever you have for me to do, I would like to be of some use to you. And for some reason, you know, different ones asked me to give a word of testimony or to lead a meeting. And then I was asked to maybe take some services. And I thank God for the older men at that time who encouraged me. Mm. And I think that that's something I've tried to follow on as I've got older and matured and gone on into the Lord's work. You know, I look back on some of the sermons I preached at the beginning, and they've scared me when I've looked at what I preached and how I've put them together and how people have ever listened to them. I don't know. But I think that I thank God for those men who encouraged me. And even when I made mistakes, they still encouraged me. And doors began to open and opportunities began to come up. The first morning meeting I was ever asked to preach at wasn't in Gannon Baptist Church. And the man who asked me to take that service was John Woolsey. John was in Dungannon then. And I remember he was the first man who asked me to take a service in Dungannon Baptist Church. Yeah. So that's interesting. My wife and I talked about Christian service. We'd even discussed the fact that I may, you know, go to the Baptist College. In the midst of praying about that and discussing it, a door opened. And a church in Ballymena, Belie Baptist Church, asked me to go there as their pastor, and that was in 1980.
Okay, so that was your first church in Belie.
That was my first church.
First taste, I suppose, of pastoral ministry. And how did you find that as you went out into your first church?
Well, I found it you know, different. You had to get used to a lot of things. For example, the first office bearers meeting I ever attended. I had never been elected by a deacon anywhere before this. But the first office bearers meeting I attended, I remember going into that first office bearers meeting, and the man who was an elder, a godly man, Matthew Calderwood, you called him. And these men were sitting around this table, and I didn't know which of them was, looked the worst, but anyway, he said to me, "Now, this young man has come to lead the church here in Belize, and we want to give him all the support we can." And he says, "Brother, you just come and take the chair now, it's all yours." So that's how I was introduced to Elvis Burr's meetings. A short time after I went, they decided to build a new church. And so, really, I got through on at the deep end. And the Lord was good to us, I believe. We thank God for that church, who gave me, a young man, an opportunity to do what I felt the Lord was calling me to do, because I felt the call of God in all of this. And those were good days, I believe. We saw people saved. We saw people baptized. I'm not going to go into numbers tonight. And we saw the work of one, and it was an encouragement. My first church was an encouraging church, and a church that was very supportive prayerfully, and I've still contacts there today.
Right. Well, I had the privilege quite recently of speaking at your retirement.
That's right.
The retirement. So I remember you on that occasion, and some folks from here were actually down at that, for over the years as they have been on holidays and things like that, particularly in Port Rush. They called in and sat under your ministry, and they've appreciated that. They went down that night for your farewell. Mm-hmm. You said on that occasion that you were completing 30 years, mm-hmm. if I'm right, in Christian ministry. Uh-huh. Now, you're a tired man. Looking at situations today and thinking back to those days that you've been in the work, uh-huh. what are the differences? What are the difficulties? What changes have you seen, and whatever?
Well, you know, I've seen, first of all, I think there's been a decline in the sense that people need to pray. I think we need to get back to prayer, because I believe that prayer is really the beginning of blessing. Any revivals I've read about, they all began with God's people praying, and I believe that God hears and answers prayer. I see also, as I go around the churches, a drop in evening services. And, you know, I remember times when the evening service was maybe just as well attended as the morning one. And I would just say that, you know, people at Lisburn should be thankful, because you have a very healthy evening service, well attended, compared to other places, and you need to, you know, support that. I believe that whatever you do for the Lord, you do it with all your heart and with all your might. And I think today I've seen, in the space of that time, just a little drop in the lack of commitment in people's lives. I believe that if you're going to do something for the Lord, then you need to do it with all your might. You need to lay your all on the altar for God.
Good. Well, you're now retired, and of course, this is a new phase of your ministry. You haven't been put out to graze or anything like that.
No.
You still intend to be involved
right.
in the work of God as the Lord opens up doors. So, as you come amongst us, what are some of the things you'd like us to pray about concerning you at this new phase of your ministry?
Well, I'm retired from pastoral work after nearly 30 years. That's why my hair has changed its colours. This guy here, he has got it easy compared to me. No, I'm only joking. I would like to just say that, although we're retired from pastoral work, that I intend to continue to preach and to use my gifts that God has given to me. And I'll help any church that wants to be helped. I'll be open for meetings that people want me to take. I've taken this month off just to get into Lisburn to get to know a few people. And I'm thankful to the Lord that, you know, the dairy's beginning to fill up. And so I just would ask you to remember us in your prayers and to pray that the Lord will give me a work to do for him in our retirement ministry. I've told our two girls that I'll be keeping preaching until the Lord takes me home or else I start to dote. And when I start to dote, I've told them that they have to tell me. And they said, Daddy will not tell you, we'll just shoot you. So there you are.
Okay. Appreciate your time tonight.
Pleasure, John.
And taking opportunity, just introduce yourself and tell us something about the Lord's leading